And it's a lovely, bright, sunny day today, but we know that we've just been through a week that's had its downturns in the weather. And in our house, Thursday night is athletics night. Our kids do an athletics club just up at Sutcliffe Park. And last Thursday, you might recall, it wasn't the type of evening where the weather was conducive for getting your shorts on and going for a run. And it's fair to say that there was a little bit of resistance for getting away from a warm house and the TV that Thursday night. And as I played taxi on that day and stood in the cold waiting for them to finish their athletics, I began to muse about dedication and, you know, the little Roy Castle tune buzzing away in my ears and what dedication means, particularly in that sport. And Sutcliffe Park track on a Tuesday and Thursday evenings is an incredibly busy place, even in winter. There are literally hundreds of kids there with their coaches, week in, week out, working on their core fitness and the technical skills that they need for the events they will be competing in next year. Real dedication is being shown. And there's something about winter training in athletics that really does show you what dedication is all about. And the dedication being displayed there is, first of all, knowing and deciding your particular event, what this is, what you're uniquely good at, and being single-minded to work on that week in and week out. Evie, our daughter, is doing the long jump and the pole vault. The pole vault, for goodness sake. I don't know what has possessed her to choose that, probably because it's the most dangerous thing she knows she can do in athletics. But that means that in order to master that event, she needs to practice and practice and practice and not get distracted at the other things that she could be doing. But it also means she needs to put the graft in when it's cold and wet, thinking about the competitions that might come forward in the summer. So it's about sticking at your training and doing all that's needed to prepare you for performing at your best. So as we think about our service of dedication this morning, those are the two themes that I want us to think about in those passages that we heard from Isaiah and Matthew. It's thinking about what does it mean to be set apart and what does it mean to stick at our dedication to God. And don't worry, it's not going to end with a jog around Manor House Gardens. So what does it mean to be dedicated to God? Well, this is a question that we find John the Baptist preaching at as we encounter him in the wilderness in the Gospels. And his message really was simple. Dedication to God means being fruitful. It means being the type of people that God has always wanted us to be. It means being people who can be looked at and understood as being there and part of God's kingdom. Unfortunately, he didn't see much of this in the religion of his day, which is why he preached a message of repentance, of the need to reorientate, return, and rededicate oneself to seeking the kingdom of God. And when John, and later Jesus, preach and teach about the kingdom of God, they're not asking people to imagine a new way of understanding what it means to be faithful to their Lord. They're calling them to rededicate themselves to the type of faith that's always been at the heart of what God has been asking of his people. It's the type of faith that centuries before, the prophet Isaiah also reminded the people that they had perhaps forgotten. And so those passages that we heard this morning from Isaiah 11 are telling a little bit about the kingdom that's coming in the presence and person of Jesus. But it's also reminding Israel what they ought to be living in, what the kingdom of God looks like, what the rule and reign of God is, and how it's clearly seen. So what does it look like? Well, verse 11 gives us a rich picture of this kingdom, and I just want to take a couple of things from that. First of all, if we think about the first verses in that scripture, rededicating ourselves to God's kingdom first and foremost concerns justice. Justice for the poor of the earth, as verse 4 states. And Jesus himself, you might be familiar, uses Isaiah as the launch point for his ministry and says the exact same thing in some words that come a little later in Isaiah 61. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor." So if this is the launch pad, the foundation of what a life of faith seeking the kingdom looks like, how do we do that? Well, we all know that when we look at the world around us, even when we look at the needs of our own community, it can seem a little overwhelming. It seems like there is so many things, there are so many things and so many places where we don't see justice, where we don't see the disadvantaged, where we don't see the needy being cared for. But seeking God's kingdom isn't about meeting all of those needs. How possibly could we? It's more like finding our focus, our part, determining what our event is, if you like. What is it that our gifts and talents are uniquely set for? And having discerned that, how do we dedicate ourselves to living that out? A few weeks ago, a good number of us gathered together at Trinity School for a morning to reflect on how and where we felt God calling us to be better connected with and to serve our community. And since then, we've had a working group looking at the insights from this time and shaping those ideas into some practical and manageable actions. I haven't actually got a clue what they've come up with as those practical and manageable actions. We'll find that out in the next couple of weeks. That's going to keep you coming back, isn't it? But what I do know is that just like focusing on disciplines in athletics, this for us will mean not doing some things in order to focus on doing other things better. And in some ways, it doesn't matter where we start, what the particular thing is that we discern we're going to do, and we know we already support and do lots of things in our community. What it does mean, what does matter, is that we commit ourselves to getting out on a Thursday night, whatever the weather is, as it were. Now, if you're like me, that might very well bring a few groans, and it can feel a lot like hard work. But the truth is, though, that this is what dedication to God's kingdom looks like. It does mean repenting of our desire to have a warm fire TV faith. However, just like the athletics club down the road, the good news is we're not doing this on our own. We have track mates, we have coaches, we have supporters to help get us out and get us going. We can be a church that's not only dedicated to acting to serve the needs of the poor, but dedicated to supporting each other and serving each other in doing that. So this vision of justice, if we listen to the words of Isaiah, lies at the heart of who we are called to be. But it is definitively not down to us to make it happen. And the next verses in Isaiah 11 are a helpful reminder of this. If, like us, as a family, you're watching BBC's Planet Earth 2, is anybody watching BBC's Planet Earth 2? The verses portraying the natural world in verses 6 to 7 might sound a little odd if you've watched what happens in the scenes of the wild animals on that program. Wolves happily living with goats, lions happily munching grass with bison, and snakes playing with, not poisoning, vulnerable play like children. It doesn't sound like it would make good nature TV, does it? It's all a bit too sedentary. And it does sound a little bit far-fetched and a little bit bonkers. That's because it's meant to be. When we hear those descriptions, we're meant to think, hang on a minute, that doesn't seem right. See, what these verses describe is an unimaginable transformation, an unnatural harmony, and an impossible outcome. It's meant to seem out of reach because it is. It's meant to seem impossibly harmonious because it is. It's the type of vision that's not possible for us to achieve with our own actions. No matter how skilled a zookeeper we might be, we'd probably come unstuck if we tried to put the lions and the goats in the same enclosure. It's not possible through human work. But it is something, strangely, we're called to participate in. We're called to do our part in seeing this type of unimaginable world come into being. Because it's the type of world that God, through His Spirit, is bringing into being. What that picture looks like as we think of the needs of our world, what that picture looks like as we think of the needs of our community, I leave to your imaginations. But this morning, as we rededicate ourselves to be part of God's church in this place, at this time, our task is singling out where we might get stuck in and then sticking with it in seeking His kingdom. And sometimes that will feel like we're at a cold, wet Thursday night in Sutcliffe Park. We will need determination and dedication to keep going and to keep trying. But as we listen to and are inspired by the Spirit, maybe we can catch another sight. Maybe as we begin to get involved in new projects and new ways of serving, it won't seem like a wet night at Sutcliffe Park. Maybe, just maybe, it'll begin to feel like a nice, warm summer Saturday night, a super Saturday night at the Olympic Park. And then our dedication will seem worth it.